Okay, if we can begin, we've got two bills. Senator Pappas has her recommendations from the Higher Education Division. Senator Latz will be here shortly on the claims bill. Senator Pappas, Senate File 2942.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is actually the policy portion of my recommendations. The budget recommendations are going to be in my committee this afternoon. But the reason we're here in the Finance Committee is that when we were putting together our policy recommendations, we had some misunderstandings between us all about what was actually policy and what was budget. And so I had taken out some things that I thought were budget, but they ended up being policy about budget. They didn't really have an impact on the budget. So we put them back into this bill. We're trying to keep the finance bill as free as possible of policy issues, so we're running a separate policy bill. What this and to make it just easier for the members to understand, we did it as a delete all amendment. Section 1 of the bill authorizes the Office of Higher Education and the Department of Education to share data. I'm just going to tell you briefly what's in it as long as we're here. And that's been approved by the Judiciary Committee and by the K-12 Policy Committee and the Higher Education Committee. Section 2 establishes the P20 partnership. That also was approved by higher ed and K-12. Section 3 clarifies some language requirements regarding the Indian Scholarship Program. You may not recall this, but in last year's K-12 finance bill, they transferred the Indian Scholarship Program from the Department of Education over to the Office of Higher Education. So this comes from the Office of Higher Education, the request from them. Section 4 amends existing language we have regarding the Achieve Scholarship Program adopted last year. Section 5, 6, 8, 10, 11 through 16, 12, 14, and 15 are all technical changes concerning the regulation of the private colleges that we have in our state that we did a major reform last year, and this is some technical corrections. Section 13 directs the Minsky Board of Trustees to report to the chairs of the House of Representatives and Senate committees with primary jurisdiction over higher ed on various issues pertaining to the length of baccalaureate and associate of arts degree programs. Last year in the bill, Minsky was directed to have all their two-year programs be 60 credits. So, and there are some programs that just don't work within the 60-credit requirement, and so there's a waiver that's allowed, and this is just a report on how that's working. Section 17, 18, 19, and 20 are kind of technical issues regarding the GI Bill that we passed last year. That's all that's in the bill, Mr. Chairman. Okay. So we don't have any general fund impact anywhere here.
And is Mr. Mossman, is that correct? Have you looked it over? I don't see Mr. Albrecht here, but
Mr. Chairman and members, the bill changes policy related to budgeted programs that have been through the committee before, but it doesn't itself change the appropriations for those programs.
Okay. Questions from the committee? Discussion? Amendments? Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Pappas, has this P20 education partnership been through the Rules Committee?
I don't know. Senator Wieger's bill, he was carrying it as a separate bill, as well as in his higher ed bill and my higher ed bill. So, but I'm not sure if it's already gone through the Rules Committee or not. That was the intention, is to send the separate bill to the Rules Committee. We'd have to check.
If it hasn't, then it would have to go there from here because of the addition of legislators to some committee here.
And we don't, Mr. Chairman, Senator Berglund, don't we fulfill that requirement if the separate bill has gone to Rules Committee? Because it's in three different bills.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Pappas, I would think that you would, but since you're not sure if any of them have gone to the Rules Committee, I do sit on the Rules Committee, and I haven't seen it. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, that somehow it might not have come up before I got to a meeting or something, but...
Yeah, Senator Berglund, I don't recall a discussion in the Rules Committee, although it's not to say...
It's not there.
There might not be a bill that's in the committee, just has not been heard.
I could, Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure how to resolve this other than I could not take the bill up until that section of the bill has passed the Rules Committee.
Okay, so, Senator Pappas, you want this bill to be, if approved by the committee, you don't want to lay it over. You want this passed to the floor. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, I think we have a lot of other issues ahead of us, and this bill was originally supposed to go directly to the floor. I would say that rather than do that, unless there's a way we can check to see if the separate bill's in the Rules Committee, I would just delete that section from the bill.
Okay, if that's your preference, obviously you can so move if you wish.
Is there a way we could, like, email the Rules Committee and ask them if they have it?
Well...
We could lay the bill over until, and you could hear the other bill, and I could go find out.
The author of, why don't we see, ask Mr. Mosner and Mr. Watson to see if they can find out what's going on. I think there were a couple of other questions.
Yeah, Mr. Chair.
To be honest, we have the other author is, I don't think, in the building yet. Sarah Olson.
Mr. Chair, the underlying bill had to do with dealing with appropriation. Is that in this bill?
No.
Okay, so that's just been used as a vehicle. So that's not the provision that you were talking about.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, what was the underlying bill?
It's a surplus appropriation.
No.
It's just how it's handled.
That was, Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, that is in the budget bill.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, we haven't adopted the A5 amendment. I'd like to move that.
Mr. Watson.
Mr. Chairman, in answer to Senator Pappas' question, Senator Rieger's bill, Senate File 23770, creating the Pinchon Education Partnership, has been heard in education and state and local government, but it currently resides in the Higher Education Policy Committee. So it has not been to rules yet. So Senator Rieger's bill must be in your policy committee still.
Mr. Chairman?
That's strange.
Was there another bill? But you said there might be three bills?
I think it's in his omnibus policy bill, which is in K-12 finance right now.
Sarah Olson.
Right. Yeah, Mr. Chair, it is in the E-12 policy bill, and it is in, as you said, in the finance committee. But I'm not sure how that is being handled, if a decision has been made as to whether that's going to move on to rules or...
And, Mr. Chair, my committee should have sent it to rules. So maybe we screwed up.
Look, we had to send it to finance.
Mr. Chairman?
Sarah Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Pappas, you know, if you have to send this bill to rules from this committee, I don't think that's the end of the world. If you let Senator Pogemiller know, they can hear bills very quickly. I actually had a bill that was heard in the Rules Committee and in a different committee all in the same day.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Berglund, I just kind of felt it was Senator Wieger's responsibility to do that and take his bill to rules, and I'm not sure what happened that he didn't do that. But...
Sarah Olson.
We can
Mr.
do
Chair,
it.
Perhaps it is... on its way to rules after it finishes tomorrow. I think we're dealing with it and amending it tomorrow, and I'm not sure what its next path would be.
I don't think it can go to rules.
It could go to – you don't think it can?
It has to be in full finance by Friday.
The policy bill?
Ooh, the policy bill, right.
So, Mr. Chair and Senator Pappas, if in fact there are some provisions that have finance in there, but I believe it's the intent to remove those – tomorrow morning and whatever, and I would think then that would not necessarily have to come, that one bill would not have to come finance unless it is being folded into the whole finance thing, which I
no
good
Okay. Well, it seems kind of silly for both of us to go to rules.
Well, Senator Pappas, with all the discussion, what you have an amendment you want adopted. Is that correct?
Yeah, the delete all amendment, the A5.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Fredrickson.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make one small amendment to that. Page 11, line 19, delete the word such.
Such. Page 11, line 19.
Should we put something in its place, though?
Delete such and insert the word the.
The.
Senator Pappas, maybe you just want to incorporate that into your amendment.
Okay, that's fine.
All right. Senator Pappas moves adoption of the A5 delete all amendment. All those in favor? Senator Betzel.
Senator Pappas, did you want to delete section 2 then and have that dealt with another bill, or did you want to keep it in here with the idea that your bill maybe you have the one to go to the Rules Committee then?
I was thinking.
Delete amendment, you may want to just move it without the section 2.
I was thinking we could adopt the delete everything amendment and then figure out what we want to do. But yeah. Senator Roebling?
The E12 policy bill has a lot of these task force and different groups in that whole bill is going to have to go to rules. So it could possibly just go through that one because it has many, many task force in it with legislators.
That could mean it could kill it, though. Maybe I should keep it since I only have one. Well, it wouldn't be the end of the world. They're still going to meet.
Well, we have the Senator Pappas's motion on the A5 amendment. Senator Betzel suggested as to what you may or may not want to do relative to that provision, but why don't we adopt the A5 amendment, and then we can discuss what we want to do with the bill in front of us. So we have Senator Pappas's motion in front of us. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Senator Pappas.
Ask Katie. Mr. Chairman, I think I'll remove Section 2 from the bill.
Okay. Senator Pappas moves the deletion of Section 2 of the bill on page 1. Is there discussion of that motion? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Further discussion on Senate File 2942.
Section 2, they deleted
it. Deleted? Okay, thanks.
Senator Pappas?
I move that Senate File 2942 as amended be recommended to pass and re-referred to the floor.
Okay. We have Senator Pappas's motion in front of us. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Thank you, Senator Pappas.
Thank you.
we have Senator Latz here? Because if we don't.
Mr. Chair, are we meeting later on this week, and is there urgency to this particular bill?
Well, we have a meeting scheduled tomorrow, and we've been talking about that agenda. It's possible.
It's coming right down.
We have a meeting scheduled for tomorrow, Mr. Chairman?
Possibly.
Yeah. At this time?
Well,
except that I'm supposed to have my budget done by tomorrow, so I need time to meet tomorrow.
Let's just Senator Latz is on his way down, so is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Kim?
Sorry.
Let's wait till she gets here. Linda?
Sort of an impossible schedule around here.
Yeah.
Hey, Mr.
And Ron's on his way down.
I don't know if that's this is a delete all here, though. So it must be this one.
Chair Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, while we're waiting for Senator Latz, I just wanted to make the committee aware of a portion of his bill that directs the commissioner of the Department of Transportation to reparate a couple who own property in Invergrove Heights. There was a lot of construction material dumped into an unauthorized dump site on their property, and we're attempting to help those folks clean it up, even though the commissioner of the Department of Transportation, the Department of Transportation is not culpable for this, the vast majority of the product that is in that dump site. And I'm asking Mr. Watson to come up with a little amendment so that future cases that are like this won't drag the Department of Transportation into some sort of legal setting. In other words, Mr. Chairman, committee members, the $67,000, these folks deserve the $67,000. I don't believe that that's a question at all. But it was clearly not the Department of Transportation that dumped the vast majority of material in there. So.
Director?
Well, I think it was we would have to probably listen. Mr. Senator Latz is probably a little more
too much to do.
Familiar with all the material that were in that was in that dump site.
That's what you said 2 minutes ago. What are we waiting in terms of scheduling?
When will we see your health
care budget reform stuff? Linda wants time for her division. That's more important.
Members, while we'll give Senator Latz about one more minute to show up. Relative to the schedule, we had talked about having a meeting tomorrow on the budget reform legislation. We have several of us who have authored bills. This is not for inclusion in the supplemental finance bill. So I think, Senator Berglund, what we'll do officially is not have the meeting tomorrow morning. We'll have no other meetings of this committee until Friday. Some members are aware, but let me announce to others, we will schedule the meeting Friday for 11 o'clock, and depending on problems we have in the morning, Senator Latz, nice to have you here.
Mr. Chairman, 11 o'clock came faster than I expected.
Yeah. Why don't you sit down for a second. We will see how the supplemental finance bill proceeds. We're going to pass it Friday. So if there are problems with the bill on the part of members, committees, whoever, the meeting will get pushed back and pushed back. But whether we meet 11 o'clock Friday or 10 o'clock p.m. Friday, we're going to pass the bill Friday. So put Friday aside for this committee, but we will not have any meetings of other committees so divisions can meet during the week and complete recommendations to the full committee. Senator Latz. Senate File 3021, we have the 08-1314 amendment, which is a delete everything amendment.
I'll move the amendment for Senator Latz.
Okay. Senator Berglund moves adoption of the amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Senator Latz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. This is the traditional claims bill, which comes up every session. May recall, it's typically rather typical claims, mostly arising out of the Department of Corrections, the folks, inmates who are injured while they're working in the prison industries, or injuries which occur in the Department of Human Services operated state facilities. Those are the typical kind of fare that we deal with, and that you will see in The first paragraph, lines 11, 13, and 15, address Department of Corrections claims. The Burton claim is a pretty typical injury, unfortunately a large one, relatively speaking, but occurred in the ordinary course of his work in the committee, and the department recommended that the claim be paid. It was a 14% permanent injury resulting from a slip and fall in the dish room while he was incarcerated at Moose Lake. Paragraph C is a rather unusual claim, a small one, but it arose when there was the loss of a medicine bag that had a long personal history with a particular inmate. There was a lot of confusion. An outside contractor that had been provided by the tribe that had not handled things properly, and there were procedural irregularities in connection with the corrections department as well with regard to oversight and screening and attempts to recover the medicine bag. The medicine bag has not been recovered, but we do feel that it was appropriate to make this payment to Mr. Sam Manchelifo for his expenses in connection with that claim. The Department of Health, in Section 2, a rather unusual claim there as well. There had been a search for an uncapped well that was researched on a piece of property. It appeared that there was a pipe that went from the subject property to an adjacent property, and there was a little bit of records research was done, but not a whole lot of digging. Well, it turned out there was a lot of digging that was done. The adjacent property was contacted and told to find the wellhead. Spent a lot of money looking for a wellhead that it turns out did not exist on that property. But in the course of searching for that that wellhead, found a long-buried oil tank that was in a structure, a concrete structure, which if it had not been disturbed wouldn't have been a threat to anyone. But once it was disturbed, law required it to be mitigated, cleaned up, removed. And, in the process of the long search, there was a lot of disruption of the property owner's property. As it turned out, there was a relatively, if someone had looked in a phone book for relatives of the original property owners, they would have found a local relative who knew where the wellhead was located, and it was not on that property. But suffice it to say, we felt it was equitable and appropriate for the Department of Health to make some payments to the Bakers. It split out of two funds to reflect sort of the unusual nature of the situation. The largest claim by far is the Department of Transportation claim related in Section 3. We probably heard this claim at three separate hearings, and it was it goes way back to the destruction of a bridge, the construction of 494, removal of a lot of bridges, older bridges along its route, and the disposal of the bridge residue, the leftover bridge parts that were taken out of the path of 494. And it turned out some of the old bridge got put onto a dump site or some property, which eventually changed hands and turned out to be owned by a property owner that was a residential property owner. When they were doing some expansion of their own private property there, they discovered some of this leftover stuff that had been dumped on their property. There was a lot of debate over who was responsible for this and what this was and whether it was hazardous material and how serious the environmental hazard was it. There was a private contractor that may or may not have dumped it improperly in this location. The county and the city were involved in mitigation. The Department of Transportation was involved in the original ownership of the bridge and the contract for removing the bridges that were in the path of 494. So there have been multiple parties involved, all of whom seem to have made some payment to some degree or another, reflecting either their sense of responsibility or fault, or their feeling that they could push it off onto some other party. While the original claim was for, I believe, well over $100,000, after a number of deductions were made to reflect other parties' payments, the city paid, I think the county paid. There were funds for cleanup that came out of certain accounts as well. And there was, frankly, a lot of factual dispute as to who ultimately is responsible for this. What you have before you, although a relatively large payment of $67,005, is in many respects a compromise to try to share what we think is the appropriate level of responsibility and equity on the part of the state relative to the other parties.
Chairman.
Senator Mensen.
Yeah, I'm. Thank you, Senator Latz, for bringing this forward, but this has really been a nightmare for these people and the situation that's been going on, and quite frankly, there's a lot of blame to go around here, and this is one part of the puzzle that will help correct the situation for these people, and it was from the construction of the, or the takedown of the old Wakota Bridge, if you will, 494 area, and again, there's so much blame to go around, and we're just trying to make these people, they still won't become whole here, but it'll go a long way, and they might be able to sleep some nights now because of our help here, but it's something we should be doing. And they're acquaintances of mine besides everything else. They, not that it matters, but they both happen to be Methodist ministers out in our area, and great people, and we should be doing this today.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Olson.
Mr. Chairman, I'm just kind of curious about that $5 that's been added to three of them. Is that significant in that it happens to be in each case that instead of the round number, we have an additional $5 added?
Senator Latz.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, I can't explain that.
Yeah, it's
I couldn't
funny.
Tell you. I didn't notice that until you just brought that up. There it does appear to be a pattern here. I don't know what that is.
Mr. Chairman, I didn't know if that was the cost of cutting the check or
but it appears that all of those funds
bank
are
bank fees.
Mr. Chairman, I think, and Senator Letts, I think it appears that all of that money is going to them, so that little $5 is not for somebody else along the way.
I'm afraid I can't explain that. Perhaps the staff who put this together could. Mr. Lindeke, who I know is involved in this process, is on vacation this week. So,
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, we don't know. Mr. Watson is looking up, but we're speculating that there may be a $5 filing fee, a minimum filing fee that's being reimbursed.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Watson.
Section 3.749 says the person filing a claim with the Joint Senate House Representative Subcommittee on Claims must pay a filing fee of $5.
There it is.
That's the answer.
Successful in obtaining an award from the subcommittee shall be reimbursed
for the fee paid.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, I was hoping we'd get those $5 for our bill on Friday, but I could use some help. But further questions for Senator Latz on Senate File 3021.
I'll move the bill for him.
Senator Berglund has moved Senate File 3021 as amended be recommended to pass. Before we vote on the motion, let me just point out to the committee members, obviously this is not a large bill, but this is another bill to be added to the deficit because this is general fund money, not accounted for any other way. Given everything else we're doing, it's something that doesn't exacerbate the problem significantly. We have accounted for it in the work Mr. Mossman and I have been doing, but I'll just point that out for the edification of members. So Senator Berglund's motion in front of us, is there further discussion? If not,
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Murphy.
Mr. Watson, do you have an amendment?
We adopted the lead all, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, we did.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Latz, before you got in.
Senator Murphy, could we just have it distributed? Is that
sure.
Okay? You were explaining to Senator Latz what your discussion mm-hmm. been with us earlier. Why don't you go ahead?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Latz,
And I think that you did a good job of explaining what Section 3 of the bill is. This amendment that I'm proposing here, simply states that the state of Minnesota, even though we're paying this claim, this is not an admission of any type of guilt on the state's part, because there are all kinds of these smaller dump sites all around the area, and if we continue to entertain these every time that there arises an issue, we could be setting ourselves up to fail. And I understand Senator Metzen's concern with these folks here, and we all want to make sure that they get as reparated as as well as possible. But we just don't need to, in my opinion, open up the state to a whole bunch of these coming back year in and year out. Especially knowing that, the Department of Transportation was not the sole user of that facility. And some of the material that was put in there was put in by another governmental agency. And, that might have been the bad part of the material that was put in there. It was MnDOT dumped concrete in there. Somebody else dumped this other stuff that is causing a problem. So,
Mr. Chairman?
Sarah Olson.
Mr. Chairman, if the state has no liability, then why are we paying anything? Does this not create a bit of a challenge, too? I understand what you're trying to do, Senator Murphy, but does this correct it, or does this create a different problem?
Senator Lance, too.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, the Subcommittee on Claims serves in large part as sort of a court of equity, not really necessarily a court of liability determination. So when we make recommendations, it may not necessarily be that we've concluded the state is specifically liable.
Okay.
We might conclude that there's some exposure to liability, but we don't often don't make a specific finding of liability. We just conclude that it seems fair under the circumstances to deal with the claim as we recommend it be dealt. I have no objection to the amendment. I don't think it sets any difficult precedent to have the amendment.
Thank you.
Senator Murphy.
And Mr. Chair, Senator Latz, thanks for that. I chaired the committee before Senator Latz at one time, and before me, Senator Kelly had chaired it. And when he gave me the gavel, he said, don't pay anything.
Yeah.
And I agree with Senator Latz. There has to be a final place where people can go and get some sort of restitution on an equity basis, not so much on a liability basis.
Okay, we have Senator Murphy's motion on the A1 amendment. Is there further discussion? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And we have Senator Berglund's motion that Senate File 3021 as amended be recommended pass. Is there further discussion on that motion? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Senator Pappas?
Mr. Chairman, after I sat down, it occurred to me that I never moved the division report. Is that a problem?
You had to delete all.
I had to delete all to the division report, but I never moved the division report.
Well, do you...
do I need to move the division reports, Mr. Watson?
Probably, okay. All right, what... Senator Pappas moves. Thank you, Senator Latz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pappas moves. Mr. Watson?
Mr. Chairman, I think Senator Pappas probably did the right thing since we were not going to be working with the bill as amended by the division report anyway, and we had to do the delete everything to wipe out what the division report did. Mm-hmm. So although in other circumstances it might be a fatal flaw to have failed to move the division report. In this particular case, it's probably just as well.